Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations with Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. People need God's blessing. Today, Pastor Gregory Seltz tells how God enables us to bring that blessing to those around us.
God wants His people, as graced people, whether extroverts or introverts, to live graciously towards others with His love and forgiveness, so that all who believe can eternally become what God intended. He wants people who care as He cares, people not trying to build their own egos, but people who seek to bless. That's a love that transforms things, changes people's lives, even eternally.
Stay with us for Pastor Seltz's message. Today's sermon is based on one of the readings appointed for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now here's our speaker, Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Apostle Paul says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen." You know, things can change drastically when someone really cares. That's exactly what happened when Alvin and Anita Dickerson cared enough to get involved in a little girl's life. They were running errands in Sandy, Utah, when they drove by a man and two women. For some reason, the man looked familiar to both of them. They stopped at a store to make some copies, and as Anita left the store, she came within 20 feet of the man, getting a clear look at his face. She knew him. In fact, she just saw a picture of him the evening before on America's Most Wanted, you know, a television show that highlights unsolved criminal cases. In this particular case, it was about a little girl who had been kidnapped. Anita got into her car and she told Alvin that she was going to call 911. As they drove home, she spoke to the police. She thought about that little girl, about her family, and because Anita was paying attention, because she cared about people, she helped police solve a confounding case. When the police notified her that her tip panned out, Anita said she got goosebumps. Who would have thought that paying attention to people could have such significant results? But it does, doesn't it? Saying hello to a person can brighten his day. Greeting a store clerk and asking how she's doing can take her from feeling alone and overworked to feeling really cared about. Has anyone ever listened to you while you told them your troubles? Has a person ever taken time to take an interest in you? It feels good, doesn't it? In fact, it may have changed your life. In grade school, I had a teacher like that. His name was Mr. Gerlach. He thought I could be a really good runner. Let's just say that at that particular time, I didn't enjoy running very much in my life. But he would run with me after school, sometimes just the two of us. He challenged me to give it my all. He made sacrifices with such a joyful spirit. And I didn't win much then. But later on in high school, I started to realize my potential. He had seen it all along. And as I look back on some of those victorious moments, I realize that without his encouragement, it may have never happened. In fact, the attitude of service and concern that he and several of my teachers conveyed when I was in grade school, I'm sure that had a lot to do with me becoming a pastor today. Gracious, relational living, taking the time to really serve and care for others even when they don't deserve it. That's what the Apostle Paul emphasized in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said that he felt a burden to share the good news of Jesus with others by serving others in his name. He was given a sacred trust to connect with other people and freely give them news that would change their life. The free gift of forgiveness of sins from God who loves all people was just too precious to keep to himself. So he lived graciously in a way that built relationships with others. That's why Paul said, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings." The Apostle Paul went to great lengths to live relationally, graciously towards others. He cared about people. He stepped into their lives. He noticed their needs. He showed flexibility and compassion because that's the way that people's lives can change, right? People change people's lives. Emails don't usually do that. Junk mail ends up in the garbage. Recorded phone messages get deleted quickly. Impersonal presentations fall victim to distraction. But if a friend or a family member or a person you care about asks you for help or invites you to go along or personally recommends something, you very well may listen. You may try something new, lend a hand, or even adopt a new habit. People change people's lives. And that's especially true when sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Now, you need to understand that this isn't a message to merely challenge you to be more of an extrovert. In fact, to live graciously, relationally, you can be any personality type. You may be the type of person who thrives on meeting people. Great. But the Apostle Paul was probably on the timid side. The Bible gives us the impression that he wasn't the type of person who stood out in a crowd. It doesn't sound like he was an eloquent speaker. I don't think he was Mr. Popularity. Now, he may have been an introvert, a bit shy, a bit quiet. But being an introvert doesn't disqualify you from living graciously or relationally either. In fact, it may give you some advantages. In her book, Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking, Susan Cain describes some of the most influential corporate leaders from a study by business guru Jim Collins. These heads of companies caused their businesses to thrive. Were they in your face, loud and relentless? Not at all. Cain said, those who worked with these leaders tended to describe them with the following words: quiet, humble, modest, reserved, shy, gracious, mild-mannered, self-effacing, understated. The lesson is clear. We don't need giant personalities to transform companies. We need leaders who build not their own egos, but the institutions they run. They focus on people becoming the best they can be. The bigger point, God wants His people as graced people, whether extroverts or introverts, to live graciously towards others with His love and forgiveness so that all who believe can eternally become what God intended. He wants people who care as He cares, people not trying to build their own egos, but people who seek to bless. That's a love that transforms things, changes people's lives, even eternally. And that's how the Apostle Paul lived as a believer. He lived graciously, relationally. And that's your purpose here on earth as a follower of Jesus, too. To live a life that blesses people, that builds people up, that shows love and encouragement and affirmation, that serves others. You have the gift and calling of caring about and connecting with people so that they can know God's love and God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, Pastor. I mean, there are obstacles to all this, right? Perhaps you missed what I said because a text message was coming in or your phone rang or you were multitasking. Well, it's difficult, yes, to stay focused today on our life, let alone the lives of others, isn't it? There's so many things distracting us today. It's even more difficult to cultivate relationships these days. You know, these days people sit at tables at restaurants and each person is looking at his or her phone. No conversation is happening. These days it's not easy to carry on a conversation when televisions are blaring, phones are buzzing, computers are chiming in. Distractions keep us from relationships. You know, fear, too, is also a barrier to relationships. You can become afraid of people who are different than you. You can be filled with fear because of high crime rates in a violent world. Fear of being hurt emotionally can cause you to seal yourself off from relationships with others. Fear, too, is a serious obstacle. Being hurried is another. You know, we live in a time of busyness. Schedules are packed, appointments are plentiful, and things to-do lists are overflowing. There's not much time for anything or anyone else these days. Being in a constant rush can make you miss the cries of help all around you. So the Apostle Paul made the effort to explain what truly graciously connecting with others, what it's all about. Secure in his relationship with God through Christ, resourced by his love, he was willing to invest his life in others in order to win them over. You know, if God always had his back, if God was his certain and sure resource of love and grace and forgiveness, well, that's the power to open up his life to others. Let me say it in other words. You know, by grace through Jesus, he could also give up his list of things to do, eliminate unnecessary distractions, put fears aside, and really get to know people. He took an interest. He listened to them. He walked in their shoes. He tried to understand what they were going through so he could be a blessing to them, just as God in Christ was for him. And people's needs today are the same as then. Above it all, people need the blessing of God. They need his love and grace like they need air to breathe. You can see it when people yearn to be heard or to be valued or to be understood. They might not realize it's a God thing, but you do. And you are there in his name for them. That's what Paul was trying to do. He was trying to open up people's eyes to God's blessing, a blessing that was all around them. Some people missed it because they were afraid to consider anything but their own traditions. Others were missing it because they were living by rules or guidelines of their own making. Some were weak, unwilling to believe they had any value. Some were full of themselves, unwilling to see their flaws and needs. And to those people, he jumped right into their lives. He walked with them, listened to them, got to know them. He lived relationally. Why? To be a blessing. God's blessing of grace for the lonely, the sad, the stuck, or the frantic. Paul declared, I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. So, dear friend, with a God who loves you that much, let me ask you this. Who is God placing in your life so you can freely share with them God's blessing of grace and love? Is it your doctor? How about your caregiver or your kids or a teacher or a friend? Could it be the person in the office or cubicle next to you or the person you eat lunch with almost every day at work? God puts people all around you and me. He does it for a reason. The world doesn't bring much blessing on its own. It brings heartbreaking headlines, stressful schedules, and worry after worry. It brings financial pressure, unexpected car repairs, and health issues that lay you low. But you can bring blessing. True, you need some time alone. Yeah, you need rest on occasion. It's true you can't be around people constantly, and we all need privacy. But people are there, and God calls you to dive into those relationships for the sake of the gospel, so that you might share with them in its blessings. Of course, now, this doesn't mean that you target people in order to make a spiritual conquest, and it doesn't mean that you live carelessly putting your own integrity at risk. It just simply means showing self-sacrificial love. And remember, the key to it all is to remember where you get that kind of love. It comes from the one who first showed it to you and me. You see, Jesus gave up everything to be in relationship with us. Listen to the way that Paul describes that in Philippians chapter 2. He says it this way, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours, in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or held onto, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." You see, Jesus took complete interest in you, and he does the same today. He entered into human flesh and died with your sins upon himself. He humbled himself so that you could be encouraged, so that you could be blessed with forgiveness and new life. And now he stays with you. He said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You're not a conquest in Jesus' ledger of lives, one for himself. You're a person Jesus values, a person Jesus is interested in. You're in a relationship with your Savior, and because of it, you have a refuge and a strength in times of peril. You have someone you can cast your cares on. You have someone who listens to you when you speak and who helps you in time of need. You have someone who gives you the blessing of eternal life. Jesus cares about you. And now in him, you're free to care about others. You're sent to bless people with what is truly good and uplifting. You're free to take an interest in people, to give them an encouraging word, to show them that joy still exists and someone's still out there who cares about them. You're free to share the reason for the hope you have, your Savior and friend, Jesus Christ. I'll never forget hearing about a woman named Nancy. She was going through a rough patch of life and felt extremely lonely and depressed. Her co-worker, Joni, had become a friend to her over the years, and as Joni noticed Nancy's sadness, they talked together. Joni offered to pray with her. Nancy accepted the offer. Months of conversations went by. Joni encouraged her friend and listened to her. Then one day, Nancy asked if she could hear more about Joni's beliefs. Joni shared that she could never make it through the day without Jesus' help and strength. She confessed that some of the difficulties she faces may only find their resolution one day in heaven, and she held on to that hope in Him. Nancy wanted to know more, so Joni invited her to come with her to church. Just a few weeks later, Nancy was baptized. She needed what Joni had, God's blessing in the middle of a difficult life. Nancy and Joni are still good friends. They're glad to walk in faith now and in life together. And that's the point of this life, this side of heaven. Living relationally deepens your walk with Christ as it brings blessing to people that He brings into your life. Living relationally is what God created you for. From His relationship with you, you bring His encouraging love to others. Sometimes it simply means stopping, looking, noticing, and speaking up. You know, I mentioned Anita Dickerson at the beginning of this message. After she called the police, several officers approached the man and two women Anita and her husband saw that day. One officer was certain he recognized the woman who was wearing big sunglasses and a wig. He looked her in the eyes, took her aside, and he asked her, "Are you Elizabeth Smart?" 14-year-old Elizabeth was abducted from her home just 9 months earlier. Massive searches yielded no clues. Many thought she had perished, but Officer Victor Cazeda took time to look very carefully at this young girl dressed like an older woman. The frightened girl's heart was beating fast and hard. The officer could see her fear and apprehension. It was true that some thought Elizabeth would never be found. It was true that as a busy police officer, he had many other things he could be doing that day. But he also knew how important it was at that moment to connect with this young girl in distress. So he asked her again, "Are you Elizabeth Smart? Your family is looking for you." Finally, in spite of the intimidation of her captors, the frightened young woman admitted that she was indeed Elizabeth Smart. You can imagine the reaction of her parents when they found out their daughter was found. You can imagine the celebration and the joy that permeated Elizabeth's hometown that day. It all happened because people cared. Well, that's what God is calling us to do and more. Living graciously, relationally, we get to be agents of His blessing in the lives of people. Can you see people in your life whom God is calling you to notice today? Can you imagine God's abundant grace overflowing from you to them so that they can be blessed in Him too? Well, let's find out together in Him. Amen.
Listening to the Lutheran Hour. That was the Concordia Seminary Chorus.
Pride is a toxic, poisonous sin. And I learned it the hard way.
What's it like to smoke crack? Imagine the best feeling that you've ever had. Multiply that times 10, and then multiply that feeling by another 10. And after my first time, I was addicted.
I never thought that the children would leave the faith. It never crossed my mind until it actually happened.
You know, and I wanted so desperately to be a part of that popular group. And so I did things I was uncomfortable with to fit in.
You're listening to the Lutheran Hour, and those are voices of regret. And that's the subject of Regrets, Reality, Restoration, the latest offering from the LHM Men's Network. And we're talking now with Jim Likens, the producer and director for the Lutheran Hour Ministries Men's Network. What did you find most compelling about these stories of regret?
I think the most compelling thing, Mark, was when I looked up on the internet the word regret.
Mm-hmm.
And what it means in its literal sense is to look back and weep. And the four people in this program, when they looked in their rearview mirror, they had reason to weep. A man, for instance, was a special assistant to President George Bush and left the White House in disgrace because he admitted to plagiarism. A woman was the daughter of a Lutheran pastor who walked away from the faith in the church because her friends and their lifestyle was more important. Another man who grew up in a Lutheran family, went to Lutheran grade school, high school, was active in his church, but he became an alcoholic, a drug addict when he was 14. When he was in college, he tried crack cocaine, and he said, "I fell in love with it." And another man who, when he was 20, went home on a break from college and had a bunch of people in the car with him and hit a tree and killed a girl. Those are regrets.
We're talking with Jim Likens, producer of Regrets, Reality, Restoration, the latest offering from the LHM Men's Network. For listeners out there who are dealing with regrets of their own, what message will they get from this video Bible series?
Nobody is bigger than the cross of Christ. And the stories that we tell in this, I think, can touch everyone's heart. And as I listened to these people do these interviews, I thought of two Bible verses. One was Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. And Jesus says, when just one sinner repents, the angels in heaven rejoice. And for these people, and for our listeners, those people out there who are carrying a burden that has them on their hands and knees, there is a Savior who can lift it. The angels in heaven rejoice. And the story of these four people, there will come a time, and even in my own life, when I rejoice for my sorrow and regret because there have been marvelous things that have come from it.
We've been talking with the Reverend Jim Likens. To watch or download these videos, go to our webpage, LutheranHour.org. There you'll find a link to the LHM Men's Network. The Christian life is not a Sunday-only sort of thing. In his book, Live the Six, author Dion Garrett illustrates the opportunities for service God gives us the other 6 days of the week. For your free copy of Live the Six, call the Lutheran Hour toll-free 1-855-JOHN-3-16. Each week, the Lutheran Hour shares the good news of God's forgiving love for us in Jesus Christ. Your prayers and gifts help us share that message in more than 30 countries around the world. To learn more about the worldwide outreach of Lutheran Hour Ministries, call 1-855-JOHN-3-16. Together, we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Now, Pastor Seltz leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you always his peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Now, Pastor Gregory Seltz responds to questions. I'm Mark Eicher. Pastor, a listener wonders why Christianity seems to be spreading faster in other parts of the world than here in North America.
Well, Mark, that's a complex question, but there's one thing to keep in mind. You know, according to Revelation 7, God is bringing people to faith from every tribe and nation, so we shouldn't be surprised to see it happening all over the world.
Now, many people are being brought to faith in Jesus in what's been called the Global South.
You know, I'm glad that you didn't name some of the countries because the Christian faith is forbidden in a number of them. But suffice it to say that in Africa, many parts of Asia, the Middle East, many areas of Central and South America, we're seeing a rapid increase in the number of believers.
And what accounts for that increase, and why are we not seeing that same kind of activity in the U.S. and Canada?
Well, first, let's be clear about the reason for the increase. Just as in the United States, there are people coming to faith in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God to transform their hearts and lives. And let's be honest, there are many reasons that people in the Global South are hungering and thirsting for an eternal hope that the risen Savior Jesus gives, maybe more so than in North America.
In many of those places, people are facing oppression, violence, and suffering of all kinds.
Yeah, they are. And that can create an openness to the hope and help of the Savior, Jesus. There is something about desperation in the face of tribulation that causes people to cry out to God for help. And God calls out to them in Hebrews 4. It says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need."
But what about our nation? Are we crying out to God for help?
I think that's the real question. You know, we've got immense challenges in our nation, but it is important to know that even here, even now, God is still mightily at work, and there are many who are still turning to God for answers. You know, I know the studies and statistics have been painting a bleak picture of the Christian church in the United States and Canada, but the same Spirit of God is alive and well.
And that's a good point, but wouldn't you also say there are some big obstacles, though?
Well, of course. You know, each nation, region, and community has its own obstacles. I think in the West, we're struggling with a long list of challenges. You know, materialism distracts us from what's important, giving people kind of a false feeling of contentment. Postmodern philosophy causes people to doubt truth, and so they become cynical about everything. And then, of course, with all the stuff we have, there's this narcissistic individualism. It leads people to focus selfishly on ourselves and not even consider the things of God. So, you know, it's amazing. You know, I find that people feel more overwhelmed today with everything, causing a hopelessness amidst abundant blessings.
And once you miss that purpose of life that's found in Christ, it's easy to become apathetic and complacent.
Yeah, it sure is. And some of the worst tendencies of people come out when they have all that they want and they still aren't satisfied.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, that can affect Christians, forgiven sinners, too.
Any examples of that?
Sure. The church even becomes embroiled sometimes in infighting at the brink of harvest. Or our faithful confession as Christians can become tainted by immorality, racism, and meanness. You know, we've all got to be on our guard not to get in God's way, even among us and through us. We always need to remember that we too are forgiven sinners, even broken healers, and we are bearers of Christ's news alone.
And would you say that's why the church seems to be developing more slowly here?
I believe that it could be. In fact, our wealth and prosperity, which are blessings from God, can be a distraction to His eternal riches of grace in Christ. And I also believe there are times and seasons for the movement of the Holy Spirit. So let's prayerfully realize that these challenges exist everywhere. And certain challenges arise at certain time in every nation's life. But amidst it all, our calling is clear in all those places. With love for our neighbors, we preach Christ crucified, the power of God for all who believe. So today's opportunity is tomorrow's harvest, but today's harvest brings unique challenges too.
So in closing, let's rejoice in all that our faithful God is doing all around the world.
Yeah, with that joyful spirit, let's see what God can still do with us here in this place, too. You know, I talk about it all the time. Let's learn to be ourselves, grace people in Jesus, for others, people who strive to live graciously where God has planted them.
And then let's see what God can do with us.
Indeed.
Thank you, Pastor Seltz. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.